Morning. It's great to be able to be with you this morning and just to share this day, and we pray and trust that the Lord will have something for each one of us as we go through the day, that the Lord will speak to our hearts and that it will be a beneficial time. Really been praying a lot for this day and really just trusting that, it won't just be another academic exercise of sharing information, but that the Lord would really touch our hearts through this, and that things might be shared and said which will be of practical value in our families immediately in terms of raising our children and living a godly life before the Lord. I do apologize for the technical difficulties we're having. It seems that they started some time ago. It started with my printer at home that the last few days has just not been cooperating, and then wouldn't print out the handouts properly. And so the reason that Jamie is not here right now is he's busy redoing the handouts. So you will get a handout at some point as well, but we'll just have to wait and see. Now, any progress on the thing? No? Next meeting, okay. Well, if you look at the screen and use your imagination, I want you to imagine the first slide, which is an outline of the day, which would then give you, you know, your map of knowing what we're going to do today. So I'll tell you what's up on there. Again, if you'll just look very, very closely. I'm going to start this morning with a disclaimer and then some introductory remarks to kind of set the scene on the whole topic of children, and then we're going to have a look at a topic called Biblical Foundations for Parenting. Then we're going to consider something that I've called Solid Home Foundations, and then we're going to consider a topic, Telling, Teaching, and Training, and then we're going to have a question and answer period later on. Now, at some point during the day, you will be provided with some little cards that you can write questions down on and submit them. And we'll look through those cards and see if there's time to handle as many of those questions as possible. And any difficult ones, I'll put to the bottom of the pile, and we'll leave those for the elders here to answer next week. We'll do the easy ones here. But you know, when Jamie first had emailed me and asked if I would do the seminar, I said, I don't think so. Because I said to him, you know, we're in the midst of raising our seven children. Oldest is 17 and the youngest is 5. And I said, you know, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. Maybe if you wait another 20 years and then see if you still want me to do this seminar to see what's happened in our children's lives. But he assured me, he said, we're not asking for somebody to come and tell us how they have done it, but rather we're asking that you come and share biblical principles that we all can learn from. And so I appreciated that very much, but I've been in much fear and trembling to speak on this topic today of raising spiritual children. And I would like to preface this seminar with this statement. What we're going to cover today is the theory of it, and the speaker does not necessarily resemble his remarks. As Dorothy and I have struggled along to raise our family in the fear and nurture of the Lord, it seems constantly we can look back and see so many things that we should have done that we didn't do, or just things that were good principles that we have been inconsistent at applying those principles and living them out on a daily basis. And we look at our children and we see our own faults magnified in them, it seems. You know, why is that? That all the things that you really hoped would never be true in your children, they seem to, you know, show themselves very visibly there. And but you look at that and you realize that it drives us back to our knees to cry out to the Lord for help and for mercy, and for the Lord to by His grace cover a multitude of wrongs and sins and shortcomings. And it certainly puts us back in a position of complete dependence on the Lord. I'd like to just make four introductory remarks, four things that set the stage for the discussion of raising children. And the first introductory remark that I'd like to make is this: children are a gift from the Lord. They are a blessing, not a curse. Some people feel that, you know, when Adam and Eve were created, before they fell into sin, there were no children. And children only came after the fall. And so they feel that children were part of that condemnation. But that is not true. God designed us people to have children. And children are a blessing from the Lord. Psalm 127 and verse 3, please. Psalm 127 and verse 3. I know we know this verse, but I want us to see it in our Bibles and to read it once again. And the reason I want to really emphasize this is that our current society, with its basis in evolution and secular humanism and selfishness, our society does not cherish children. Our Western-based society sees children as a huge burden, a very costly thing that is undesirable. And I want to take us back to the biblical truth of what is said here in Psalm 127 in verse 3. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. It isn't a punishment, it is a reward. Children are a gift from the Lord. That's a truth that we've just got to think about and get our mind around and grasp it and just let it sink in. Because the truth is, even as Christians, even as the church, we have bought at least partially into the world's view that children are somehow this interruption in our life. You know, we get married and we're excited. It's the two of us together and we're going to live our life and fulfill our dreams. And then along come children, and it's kind of this temporary interruption in our lives. And the quicker that we can get them grown up and gone, the quicker we can return to normal and pursue our dreams once again. Don't think like that. Break that concept in your mind. Push that away. Put it to death. Children are not an interruption in family life. Children are the reason for family. And children are a gift from the Lord. Again, unfortunately, that idea that we have comes from this humanistic understanding that we have, this self-centered understanding that we have. And we feel that I deserve in my life the very, very best, the most convenience, and the most comfort that I possibly can have out of life. And anything that ruffles that, I need to get rid of. We need to deal with selfishness in our hearts. We need to deal with the self-centeredness within us that is holding us back from a true biblical perspective. Now remember this and think about this clearly. The handouts have arrived. Thank you very much, Jamie. I appreciate that. Remember this. Children know if they are considered a burden, and they will behave accordingly. They will indeed know and see through our attitudes towards them. And when they are grown, if they have been considered a burden, they will repay the favor to their parents. And I've seen that again and again and again. I've had older people who have said to me, I can't understand why my kids have no time for me at all. And, you know, they just kind of consider me a burden. I'm just there on the side fringes of their life. But, you know, they never take time for me. They don't come and see me. They never do anything with me. I just don't understand it. And as soon as you start prying a little bit and you ask the children about their growing up years, you discover that that's exactly how their parents taught them, handled them. didn't have time for the kids. They were this interruption. Their job was more important. Building a secure financial future was more important than the kids. Golf was more important than the kids. And if they had to take time out and miss a golf game because the kids had something important that they were doing, you know, this was, Dad was in a big huff over that, you know, because I missed my golf game. You know. Kids know that. They see it. And they will live and act accordingly to the way that they are treated. So let's come back to this first point again. Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a blessing, not a curse. Please remember that God lends us children, as it were, for a brief season. He actually never gives them to us because they always are His. They are His special creation, and He entrusts them to us, and we are to be stewards of those children. When we first started having children, and you have your first two, and you don't get to sleep at night, and you know all of that stuff, and it just seems like you're changing diapers all the time, and you know just everything kind of crowds in on you, and you think, this will never end. This will never end. And then, you know, older people come along and say, oh, you know, cherish your children before you know it, they'll be gone. You say, yeah, right. You know, you come and live in my house for 2 weeks and see how you feel. I mean, this is a long time. But you know, it is amazing how suddenly you realize one day, oh, wow, we don't have a baby in the house anymore. So, you know, I kind of miss the smell of dirty diapers. You get used to that stuff, right? And now you just miss it. And you know, there's no little cry in the middle of the night. It's gone. And you can't recapture those days. So fast, it is over. I think we need to keep it in perspective that God lends children to us for such a brief time. And they're lent to us in one sense as our most valuable resource. God intends for us to love our children. God intends for us to thank Him for our children, to nurture them, to disciple them, and to commit ourselves to raising our children for the Lord. God gave our children to us. He didn't give them to somebody else. He put the right mix and combination together that He planned. Precious gifts from the Lord. What we do with these children that God gives to us, lends to us as gifts, will have eternal consequences. I heard an illustration the other day, and I heard it in another form actually on a CD that we were listening to on the way over today. But in terms of parenting, we get, as it were, one shot at it. It's like having a balloon. If you pop that balloon, how many times can you pop a balloon? Only once. It's gone. We get, as it were, that one shot at raising our children. We don't get a second time around. We need to recognize that this is a high calling from the Lord. Raising children is more important than being successful in business. You can pour your life into your company and you can do everything possible. You can stay late, go beyond the bounds of duty, and just as easily they'll give you a pink slip one day. You're out of here. You're finished. What? After 35 years and I sweated and gave everything to this company. Cheers, Joe. You're out of here. That's it. Isn't it sad that most men pour far more time into their business, into their work, than they do into their children? But their work is here today and gone tomorrow. Our hobbies are here today and gone tomorrow. Eternally, they have no consequence. But our children, who are of eternal consequence to us, we give the leftovers of our day, the leftover of our emotions, you know, the little bit that's over from everything else. We need to turn that around. Children are a gift from the Lord. And the way that you and I treat our children could make the difference in terms of their salvation or their lostness. Not only in terms of salvation, but in terms of their usefulness to the Lord as well. Even if our children do become Christians, what about their effectiveness and their service for the Lord? That may depend in large measure on the way that we have reared our children. So this has eternal, far-reaching consequences. So there's the first thing. We've got to grasp this and got to fix this firmly in our minds. Who are these little munchkins running around our house, screaming their heads off, knocking over and breaking that priceless vase that Auntie Jane gave that had been in the family for three generations? Who are these little ones running around? These are precious gifts from the Lord. Who are these ones that cost so much money to feed and clothe and raise and educate? Is this all worth it? These are gifts from the Lord. Precious stewardships entrusted for a brief period, and they have eternal consequences. Children are a gift from the Lord. That's the first introductory remark. The second introductory remark I want to make is this, stating the obvious. It does take sacrifice and commitment to raise children in obedience to the Lord. It does take sacrifice and commitment. Whoever said, where has it ever been written? Where is the rule that says it should be easy? It's not there. It does take sacrifice and commitment. You know, it's a strange thing that becoming a parent is a relatively easy thing. It's a natural thing. Nobody makes you get qualifications before you can take on that job. You can just take it on. Anybody can. Many people take it on without much thought at all. But it is the highest calling. It is the most important task or job that is given to us in our lives. And it does take an enormous amount of sacrifice and commitment. Remember this. We live in a fallen world, and we are fallen people. Sin's consequences are everywhere around us. Very interesting that one of the first consequences that the Lord spoke to Adam and Eve after they had fallen into sin is found in Genesis 3 and verse 16. He says, in pain you shall bring forth children. That pain was not part of the original equation. The pain part came as a result of the fall and the curse. And it's one of sin's consequences that we cannot sidestep. It's just a reality. And so it takes a lot of sacrifice and commitment to raise children in obedience to the Lord. We know all about sleepless nights, sickness, financial pressures, etc., etc. And we know what all of that can do to us as parents. It can bring out the worst in us. Isn't that amazing? When you're tired and nothing's going right and you're under pressure, it can bring out the worst in us. Sometimes it exposes our weaknesses and faults, and we don't like that, so we blame the fact of having children. You see, if we hadn't had children, none of this would have happened. Say, wait a minute. What happens when you take a tea bag and you plop it into hot water? All the hot water does is draw out the flavor that is in the tea bag. Right? The tea bag may blame the hot water for the flavor that results, but the reality is all the hot water did was draw out what was in the tea bag. It didn't put what was in the tea bag, just drew out the flavor. And often the hot water pressure situations of raising children draws out what is in our heart that we've so carefully been able to cover up and, you know, make our little pretenses and veneers. And when you have children, somehow all that just crumbles away, you know, and you just kind of, this is me, right? And when you're at home and that's all exposed, you know, and the wallpaper's been ripped off, you know, and it doesn't look that pretty. This is the real me just seething out, right? We don't like that. And we blame sometimes the fact of having children. I think we need to remember that the Lord uses raising children. He uses the family as a tool in His hands to show us what's in our own hearts. Because we're not honest about it. We sidestep. I'm a nice person. I'm a good person. I can handle life. Yeah, give the guy three or four children. We'll see how well he handles life. Right? Then it comes out what's really happening there. But it's a tool in God's hand. You know, sacrifice and inconvenience and discomfort are not necessarily bad things, despite all that our society tells us. Sacrifice and inconvenience and discomfort can be wonderful things because they crack that shell of selfishness so often. Right? And it exposes what is in our heart and reminds us, you know, I'm maybe not the person that I thought I was. Maybe I'm more in the world, and maybe I'm more part of the world than I understood, than I realized. And so the Lord can use it to teach us unselfishness, to teach us to give, to teach us maturity, and to teach us that we're not an end in ourselves. We need His strength. We need His wisdom. We need to lean heavily upon Him for strength and guidance and direction. I think I have learned far more about myself since having children than I ever did before. I thought raising children was very simple. Before I was married, before we had children, I used to speak to people who would come to me and they had difficulties in their family. Oh yes, tell me about it, you know. So I'd listen to it, you know, and then, I think I have the solution, you know. And I'd give them the solution that I'd read in a book somewhere, and it sounded so easy. 3 easy steps to freedom, you know, in your family. And once I had children, I prayed. I said, Lord, please never let me meet any of those people that I gave advice to before. Because I didn't have a clue what I was talking about. You know, and I hate to know what happened if they try to implement that advice. I'll be very embarrassed to ever face that. But it made me realize more than anything else, I need the Lord second by second in my life. I mean, just it, family pushes you to the wall, as it were, and makes you realize your inadequacies. Your own failures, your own shortcomings, the weaknesses within your own personality, the grip of sin and selfishness. I mean, all of that is just revealed. And that, if we will learn from that, it can drive us back to sitting at the Lord's feet and learning of Him and just drawing from Him and enjoying His enabling. So it does take sacrifice and commitment to raise children in obedience to the Lord. So don't be surprised at the inconvenience. Expect it. And for those who are not yet married, who are looking forward to that day when that will happen, recognize that you look forward with a sense of seriousness and sobriety and much prayer. And praying that God would prepare you for that. And in advance, begin to learn to depend on the Lord and to read His Word and to discover what He says about marriage and family. Begin to establish yourself on a solid foundation. You don't have to be afraid of this sacrifice because it's a precious thing, because children are a gift from the Lord. Our Lord Jesus was willing to come and sacrifice Himself. Inconvenience Himself, go through an amazing depth of pain and suffering and inconvenience and discomfort for our sakes. It says, who but for the joy set before Him endured the cross? And as parents having children, there is a sense in which, yes, there is that short period of time where if I really give myself to parenting, it will cost me everything, as it were. But to be obedient to the Lord's word at that point will bring long-term rewards. And so if I give it my all while I have these children under my roof, under my care, if I give it my all and I follow the Lord's word and I'm obedient to Him, I can trust Him for the joy that is set before. Because the Lord is the one who gives us children. And the Lord is the one who has brought me and my wife together in that unique combination and given each one of our children a unique personality, strengths and weaknesses and everything else. God knows that mix, and He knows what is best, and He knows how this is all supposed to work. And so if I look to Him, I can have confidence that there will be joy set before me. Children are a gift from the Lord. They're a blessing, not a curse. And let's be careful to guard ourselves on that. It does take sacrifice and commitment to raise children in obedience to the Lord. The third introductory remark that I want to make is this. We must learn to trust God and His Word. Living in the society and the environment that we do, and having the resources, the information that we have available, unfortunately, I would suggest that probably most Christian parents today are looking for a program which will enable them to raise their children. And in the time that we've had children, a number of different programs have come and gone. And I can remember, you know, when our children were young, and somebody, you got to do this program. Oh, we did this. This was the answer. This is just fantastic. You got to do this program. Okay, well, give us the books and the tapes, you know. So you go through this program. Okay, this is it, you know. So you sit your child down. You say, okay, now you're 6 months old, and I've got this book, and this is how we're going to raise you, because these people said they raised three children according to, and that's how we're going to raise you now. Do you understand? Thank you. That's really good, you know. And so you start doing this stuff, and you find it doesn't seem to fit this child. Something's not working. And you say, well, the child, obviously, there's something wrong with him, because this is a good program, and, you know, what's going on here? And then you just kind of feel like you get a handle on this. Okay, now I've got the answers, and then the new program comes out, and they've changed the questions. So your old answers are now obsolete. So now you've got to do this new program. Okay, so we've got to run off. And how much? $150. Well, it's a small investment for your raised children. You've got to do this. You know, get all the materials and everything. And now by this stage, you know, he's 18 months old. Okay, now we've got this good program, and we're going to raise you according to this, you know. And it just doesn't fit and work. And so we found that people were hopping from one program to another. And I'd hear people talk about these programs. They were just like magic. Once you did the program, you were a perfect parent. It was just great. But then I saw these families that they were telling us over here about how they'd solved all their problems, and we were watching their kids over here and saying, hello, there's a disconnect here between what you're saying and what's happening in your family. Something's not right here. No, we've got it all sorted out, you know, and something was wrong. But they were so trusting their programs. And, you know, as we thought about it, and as we tried to work our way through and pray through, we said, you know, maybe if we just go back to the simple truth of God's Word and see what He says, maybe God is wiser than these programs. Maybe, you know. And so we try to get back to the Scripture, and people say, "Oh, it'll never work. It's too simple." You know, your children are far more complicated than what the Bible says. You know. But we came to a point in our lives where we felt really convicted of the Lord that we must learn to trust God. And trust His Word alone, without any reference to anybody else, or anything else, or any other so-called new truth, new revelation, new program, new fad that had been invented. But I would say again that in speaking with a lot of Christian parents, that in this area of raising children, it really reveals who and what we are trusting in, and where we are going for our advice. It really reveals that. Okay, we're having some problems. What should I do with my children now? I don't hear a lot of parents saying, yeah, you know, we were having some difficulties with our second child, so my wife and I just decided over the next month we're going to pray every night, we're going to sit down, and we're going to read the Scriptures together, and we're going to look for every reference that we possibly can to raising children, to see what God has said, and see where have we gone wrong. What are the principles in God's Word that we've missed? I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that. You know? We're just going to soak ourselves in the Word, and we're going to trust God to speak to us through His Word. We're going to read and pray and read and pray until we have the answer, until God directs us and shows us what we should do. I just don't hear people saying that. And it's sad that many Christian parents rely on psychology. They do. I hear people say, "Oh yeah, you know, I was a psychology major in university, and so I know how to raise children." People say, "Well, it's just like training a dog, you know. Right? We've trained dogs and trained a child, same thing, you know. You know, show them who's boss, you know, and the whole alpha male thing, and you know, it's just, yeah, it's just same thing, you know. Set your boundaries, no off. I mean, it's no problem." Say, "What? It's not the same. God has given us wisdom in His Word for raising a family, for training children. And it's not like running a business. And it's not like training a dog. It's not like personnel management. There's a difference. God has given us very specific principles." If you think of it, modern psychology is pervasively anti-Christian and pervasively evolutionary in its basis. Do we really want to take our cue from that? Do we really want to read books and follow, you know, the advice from the back page of the newspaper or from the column in such and such a magazine, you know, where Granny J writes such and such about raising children? Or do we want to go to the Scripture? I was thinking recently about someone, a situation that we became aware of a child who now in their mid-years has become very, very rebellious and has really showed a deep sense of sin and anger and rebellion and so on. The parent of this particular child, again, was expressing this, "I just can't understand it. You know, I don't know how they got there. We raised them right." But as we considered what this parent was saying and their background and the family that they had constructed, we realized that they had implemented the world's ways from day one. Their home was not ultimately modeled on the Scripture alone, but it was modeled on, yes, we are Christians, but you know, there's some really good theories out there, and Dr. Spock had some good things to say, you know, and Jungian psychology has some very helpful things to say to us in raising our children and all this kind of stuff. And so they raised their children on the world's ways, and as a result their children were prepared to go into the world and to accept the world. A statement occurred to me when I was thinking about all of this, and I thought, you cannot raise children for the Lord using the devil's techniques. You cannot raise children for the Lord using the devil's techniques. So we really need to put aside whatever we learned at college and at university. We need to put aside our anthropology books, our sociology books, our psychology books. We need to put those aside. And whatever we learned in high school in terms of parenting courses, we need to put that aside. It's not based on truth. It's based on a wrong view of God, a wrong view of man, a wrong view of marriage, and a wrong view of children. And we need to get back to the Scripture. It is time that we learned to not lean on this fallen world's methods and theories and so-called wisdom, but instead learn to lean on the Lord and on His Word. So children are a gift from the Lord. It does take sacrifice and commitment to raise children. We must learn to trust God and His Word. Trust God and His Word. Not just acknowledge God and His Word, but trust God and His Word. Later on, we'll come back again to look at that simple little verse, Proverbs chapter 3. Trust, have faith in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Do not lean on the understanding that you have acquired and imbibed from a fallen world. The fourth introductory remark that I want to make is this, in the form of a question, really. What is the primary goal of raising children? What is the primary goal of raising children? Is it material or is it spiritual? Think of this question. Should our goals as Christian parents differ from the goals of non-Christian parents? It's a penetrating question. Think of perhaps somebody who lives in your neighborhood who is not a Christian. They're not a non-Christian family. Do you share common goals with them in terms of parenting? Should you share common goals with them in terms of parenting? Consider the basis of their worldview and the basis of your worldview. What is their starting point for their view of reality? And what is your starting point for your view of reality? You'll probably find those starting points are diametrically opposed. Can we then share the same goals as non-Christian parents? What should our goals be? Our goals as parents and as believers. Well, let's go to a verse in the scripture, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. It's always good to ask the question, what saith the Lord? How would the Lord provide an answer for our question here? For believers, what are the goals of parenting? Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Look at the second half of that verse. Reading from the New King James. Bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Does that sound material or spiritual? I think the answer is spiritual. What should our goals be as Christian parents for our children? What does the Lord say? Bring them up, raise them in the discipline, in the teaching and training, and the admonition of the Lord. Of the Lord. That which belongs to Him. So the teaching and the training part, and the admonition and the warning part, go together to produce children who are spiritual. Their values, their goals, their perspectives on life then should be spiritual. It's interesting, I meet quite a few people as I travel around, and I'm often in people's homes for hospitality. And inevitably, you know, I'll be in somebody's home and I look at the pictures of their children, their grown children on the wall, and I usually ask, are your children walking with the Lord? I'm always interested at the responses. Often the response comes back something like this: no, but they're very happy and they're successful in their careers. They're doing really well for themselves. Oh, my son has a beautiful, beautiful home. He travels quite a bit, but we get to see them at Christmas time, and we usually get to go to them in the summer. Now, my daughter and her family, they spend a week with us at the cottage every summer. And you know, her oldest daughter, she's a straight A student at school. So we're pretty lucky, and I'm really proud of them. They're good kids. And I'm thinking, it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy. Here you are, professing Christian parents, and the most important thing in your children's lives is missing. Where will it get them in eternity that they got straight A's? Where will your son's beautiful home get him when he stands to give an account of himself before the Lord? Where will your daughter's high-sounding career get her when she is asked, what have you done for Christ? Will it matter that you were able to work long hours and provide the very best for your children, to buy a new bicycle for them every Christmas and take them to Disney World on vacation? Will those things matter long term? The most important thing is missing. Raise your children, bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Now it seems to me that for a lot of Christian parents, if they had to choose between two things, A, their children being solidly committed to the Lord, walking with Him, but not having a great job or career, not being well off financially, not able to purchase their old home and have to drive an old clunker, you know. Or B, being lukewarm, casual churchgoers, but well-educated, successful in business, owning a beautiful home, having a cottage and a boat, driving a new car, that many Christian parents would opt for point B. And they do, too, because that's what they push their kids towards. And so many parents, it seems, give no thought to prepare their children for eternity. They prepare them for this world. The focus is on credentials, qualifications, career. We want the best for our children. What do you mean by that? Well, the very best that this world has to offer. What about the world to come? Well, hopefully they'll take care of that when they get older. What is the primary goal of raising children? Is it material or is it spiritual? I hear people bragging about their children's material achievements far more than I hear people speaking about the spiritual life of their children or their service for the Lord. I know Christian parents who are embarrassed that their children chose to become missionaries. Well, I don't know how this is going to work. They got nothing. You know, they got nothing. They got no retirement, nothing. I mean, you know, they don't even have a good benefits plan or anything. They come back here on furlough. I mean, their clothes are shabby. They don't have a car to drive around. They got to come back home and mooch off us. You know, I mean, wow. You know, they should get a real job. You say, ugh. What are we raising our children for? What are we pushing them towards? But I hear other people speak very proudly about their children's well-being in this life. Are they walking with the Lord? Oh, no, but they're good kids. See what's important to people? Where have we gone wrong? Where have we turned this wrong corner in the road? Well, we've neglected God's word, that's why. Instead of drawing our perspective from here, instead of us having the spiritual and eternal perspective, we have bought into the world's values and ideas and perspectives. And we've raised our children to do the same. What are your primary goals for your children? Check your heart. Ask yourself, what do I pray for concerning my children? Think about it. What do I pray for? I think you'll find that a lot of times we pray for physical safety, well-being, protection, a good job. We pray that their life will be nice, comfortable, convenient. Things will go well for them. We pray about their education, all those kind of things. But how often do we wrestle in prayer for our children? How often are we so gripped with concern for their spiritual well-being, their eternal state, that we would stay up all night, pleading, crying, wrestling with the Lord, foregoing food if necessary, pouring out our souls to the Lord, not just for salvation, but for a genuine spiritual walk with the Lord, praying that our children would learn to die to self, to live for Christ, praying that our children would one day be able to say, it's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. How often do we pray like that for our children? Maybe that's why our children are not spiritual. Maybe that's one of the reasons why over 80% of our children are not walking with the Lord anymore. 80% or more of children from conservative evangelical homes, 80% of those children abandon their faith by the end of their first year in college. That's a shocking statistic. We shouldn't be happy with that. We shouldn't just despair or throw up our hands. But we need to go back to the book. We need to say, Lord, where have we gone wrong? Where has our perspective become askewed? And we need to go back on our knees to cry out to God on behalf of our children. To pray for each other and for each other's children. To take your chapel directory and pray through it, not just for the adults. Pray for the children. To take the missionary prayer handbook, don't just pray for the adult names, pray for the children who are listed there. One by one, name by name, pray for them. We need to do some spiritual wrestling in prayer to get back to a biblical perspective. Children are a gift from the Lord. They're a precious gift. They are a blessing. They're not a burden. They're not a curse. They're not an interruption. Children are a wonderful gift from the Lord. We are to be stewards of that gift. God loves children. Jesus expressed love for children when he was here in his incarnation. We need to pour our life into our children. It has eternal consequences. Children are a gift from the Lord. It does take sacrifice and commitment. It's not a walk in the park. It's not a picnic. It doesn't just happen accidentally. Whoa, my children turned out spiritual. No. It doesn't happen like that. Right? It takes hard work, commitment, sacrifice. I have to learn to die to myself. I've got to learn unselfishness. I've got to kill some of my dreams, some of my unrealistic expectations of life, and refocus my attention and my effort to raise spiritual children. Recognizing that this whole thing is a tool in God's hands to mold me and to make me more like the Lord Jesus Christ. We must learn to trust God and His Word. Not just say we do, not just casually, generally acknowledge God. But really trust Him and stake our lives and our children's lives on this. No plan B. All our eggs in one basket. If this is not true, if this fails, I'm sunk. Such a faith. Faith isn't faith until it's all you're holding on to, right? Getting out on the limb. If that limb breaks, you're going down. If this fails, I'm going down. Faith. Such trust in God's Word that I trust none other. We must learn to trust God and His Word. And I must consider what is the primary goal of my parenting. What am I trying to produce? Successful children materially in this world? Am I simply preparing them for the here and now? Or does God's Word tell me that I must raise them for the Lord? The spiritual value. Raise them for eternity. Raise them in the teaching and training and admonition of the Lord. And to that end, we need to wrestle in prayer and intercede and pour out our hearts and plead and beg the Lord for a blessing in terms of our children and their lives. Well, we're going to stop for a break at this point and reconvene. How long will we stop for a break? 15 minutes.